ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 61। लॉर्ड बलराम स्लेस रुक्मी। टेक्स्ट नंबर 19, 20, 21। टेक्स्ट 19। एतेषां पुत्रपौत्रास् च बभुः कोटिशो नृप मातरा कृष्णजातीनां सहस्राणि च षोडश। एतेषां पुत्रपौत्राश्च बभूव कोटिशो नृप मातर कृष्णजातीनां सहस्राणि च षोडश। एतेषां पुत्रपौत्राश्च बभूव कोटिशो नृप मातरः कृष्णजातीनां सहस्राणि च षोडश। एतेषां पुत्रपौत्राश्च बभूव कोटिशो नृप मातरः कृष्णजातीनां सहस्राणि च षोडश। Matajis. What meaning? Etesham of this. Putra, sons, Pautraha, and grandsons, Cha, and Bhabuhu, were born, Kotishah, by the tens of millions, Nripa, O king, Mataraha, the mothers, Krishna Jati Nam, of the descendants of Lord Krishna, Sahasrani, thousands, Cha, and Shodasha, 16. Translation. My dear King, the sons and grandsons of Lord Krishna's children, numbered in the tens of millions, 16,000 mothers gave rise to this dynasty. Text 20. King Parikshit said, how could Rukmi give his daughter to his enemy's son? After all, Rukmi had been defeated by Lord Krishna in battle and was waiting for an opportunity to kill him. Please explain this to me, O Learned One, how these two inimical parties became united through marriage. Text 21. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Mystic yogis can perfectly see that which has not yet happened, as well as things in the past or present, beyond the senses, remote or blocked by physical obstacles. Purport. Here King Parikshit encourages Sukadeva Goswami to explain why Rukmi gave his daughter to Lord Krishna's son Pradyumna. The king stresses that since great yogis like Sukadeva Goswami know everything, the sage must also know this and should explain it to the anxious king. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are reading this beautiful narration from the Bhagavatam, chapter 61st, wherein Sukadeva Goswami is beautifully narrating to Parikshit Maharaj the family of Lord Krishna. So far, the particular verse which we are dealing today is a question by Parikshit Maharaj to Sukadeva Goswami based on the information Sukadeva Goswami has given so far. So while Sukadeva Goswami has spoken about Krishna's family, how Krishna got begot 10 sons and 1 daughter from each of his wife, while the narration was going on, the beautiful narration, a certain thing was narrated by Sukadeva Goswami which intrigued Parikshit Maharaj to ask a question. A certain information was very amazing. What was that information? The information was that Rukmini, of her 10 sons, the eldest was Pradyumna. And this Pradyumna married Rukmavati, who happened to be daughter of Rukmi. So that was quite interesting, was Parikshit Maharaj, because Parikshit Maharaj knew the history that how Rukmini was very envious of Lord Krishna. He didn't like Lord Krishna. And somehow or other, he had just settled down, accepting the fact that his very dear sister Rukmini was married to Krishna. And here we find that immediately, here we see Pradyumna, who is Krishna's son, is marrying Rukmini's daughter. So one more relation has happened between Rukmini and Krishna now. So that is very fascinating. Not only that, but it is mentioned Rukmini's grandson, that is Krishna's grandson Aniruddha, he was married to Rochana, who was the granddaughter of Rukmini. So therefore, Parikshit Maharaj becomes intrigued that, well, Rukmini could not digest the fact that Rukmini was married to Krishna, and here we find he agreeing to two more relations with the same family. So therefore he is kind of pausing and asking Sukadeva Goswami, kindly explain to me this. So therefore it's very interesting because we find that it is not that after marriage of Krishna and Rukmini, Rukmini kind of become very intimate with Krishna. No, Rukmini carried that anger, the envy against Krishna and Balaram. And that was the result for which he was killed in this chapter now. Balaramji will kill mercifully Rukmini. So he carried that envy. So therefore it's quite interesting that how we find here to the pages of Bhagavatam that Rukmini hated Krishna, but Rukmini loved Rukmini. And who is Rukmini? Rukmini happens to be goddess of fortune, internal potency of the Lord. So quite amazing. A personality is loving the internal potency but hating the supreme personality of God. This also brings to a fact, a very special thing, that sometimes people who are very demoniac in nature can have good relationships also. Like here, Rukmini was so pleased with Rukmini that he did not mind offering his own daughter, Rukmavati, and later granddaughter, Rochana, to Rukmini. In fact, when Rukmavati was about to be married, the daughter of Rukmini, Rukmini had arranged for a Swayamvara. And in that Swayamvara, all the great princes had come. And there was no challenge in that. The only thing was, Rukmavati had to go and garland a prince and accept him as husband. So Rukmavati went and garlanded Pradyumna. And it is mentioned that Rukmini was not happy. But somehow or other, he agreed for that marriage because he loved Rukmini. The only thing which is pointed out here is Rukmini loved Rukmini, so he arranged this marriage. Now later the next marriage which took place was a granddaughter of Rukmini, Rochana. And in that case there was no Swayamvar, it was an arranged marriage. And here too it is mentioned that Rukmini wanted to please Rukmini. So here is a personality who wanted to please goddess of fortune, internal potency, yet he hated supreme personality of Godhead. So it's a typical thing that we can learn that even though people may be demoniac, may exhibit such kind of relations, but they cannot be relied upon. We have another such example in the Shastra, in the Bhagavatam, of Devaki and Kamsa. So Kamsa loved his sister Devaki. And we know the beautiful incident of Devaki's marriage. And Devaki was feeling so much separation from the house she was leaving to go to her husband's house, that Kamsa wanted to pacify her and give her solace. So Kamsa decided to go along with her to her in-law's house so that she feels less separation. And for that reason, Kamsa agreed to become the chariot driver. To become a chariot driver is not a very wonderful thing. In the Vedic age, every person had his own occupation. No one would change occupation. Therefore we see that Krishna became chariot driver of Arjuna. So it's a very interesting thing. Krishna is called Bhakta Vatsal because of that. So Kamsa became his sister Vatsal. He was driving the chariot of Devaki. So everyone was praising Kamsa. Oh, what a brother he is. Everyone knew he is demonic also. But yet they appreciated his brotherly love. But how long? Till that Akashvani came. As soon as the Akashvani was heard, the same Kamsa, who was showing so much love and concern, was ready to kill his own sister on the day of her marriage. And he did not mind any reasons. No logic was going to convince him. At last it was the generosity and honesty of Vasudev which touched Kamsa. Otherwise Kamsa was not ready to agree with any points. So we find here that Kamsa and Devaki had similar relation like Rukmi and Rukmini. Of course we can give some benefit of doubt to Rukmi. He was a little better off. Why? Because at least he did not do something like that, trying to kill Rukmini. Yet he offered more than that, he offered his own daughter and his granddaughter. So that's a little amazing about Rukmi. However, the most important thing about Rukmi, which later resulted in his doom, was Bhagavata mentions that he was very proud. Now, proud is something which is bad. Someone is proud, and that pride is seen through his subtle behavior. So somehow if the person who is very proud of his abilities and shows out through his behavior, we are a little uncomfortable. But somehow or other we can bear with him. But the same person, when he starts boasting his pride, then it's become irritable. Just imagine meeting a person who keeps speaking about himself only. I have done this, I have done that. It becomes irritating. So Rukmi was one step ahead. He was not just a proud person, but he was very boasting also. And because he was always boasting and he felt that he has strength, therefore he could dare do a lot of things in his life. The first thing he dared was, when Rukmini was about to be married, and everyone in the kingdom wanted Rukmini to marry Krishna, he dared to go against everyone's will and decided to marry Rukmini to Shishupal. That was his daring. His pride, his boastfulness made him dare that thing. After that, the second daring he did was when Krishna kidnapped Rukmini and Balaramji defeated everyone who were trying to catch Krishna and stop him from escaping. In spite of that, when Jarasandha could not do anything, Shishupal himself could not do anything, Rukmini dared to go alone to fight and get Rukmini back. A second daring he had. Why? Because he was so proud of his strength. And later on, now we can see as the chapter unfolds, Rukmini even dared to challenge Balaram. Of course, that was his last daring, after which he could not do much. Balaramji, who seemed to initially being parting to Rukmini, we see that how when Rukmini and Krishna were escaping, and Rukmini stopped Krishna. So Krishna fought with Rukmini and defeated him. And Krishna wanted to kill Rukmini. But somehow or other, Rukmini was not happy with that decision. So Krishna shaved off, a unique shave Krishna gave to Rukmini. And when Balaramji came, Balaramji was very angry on Krishna. He said, "What kind of person you are, you know? Today is your marriage day and you are shaving off your brother-in-law in such a way." So Balaram kind of sided with Rukmini. But Balaramji here, we'll see, will not side with Rukmini. Balaramji will be the cause of killing Rukmini. So this is an amazing thing about Rukmini, that his pride and his arrogance, his boastfulness led to his doom. In the Mahabharata war it is mentioned, this incident which happened of Krishna, Balaramji slaying Rukmini, happened after the Mahabharata war. Because it is mentioned that during the Mahabharata war, Rukmini wanted to join some force, either Kurus or Pandavas. So he went to the Pandavas. And as usual, as his boasting always, he boasted to Arjuna, "Arjuna, don't worry. I know you are very fearful of the Kauravas. But don't worry, I am there with you." So Arjuna became very angry on hearing that. Such a boasting is, because even though Krishna is with Arjuna, and Arjuna is actually not fearing, but he is saying, "Arjuna, don't fear, I am there with you." And then he is saying that no matter who comes in front of me, whether it is Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, Duryodhana, Karna, I'll kill every one of them. And why Rukmi boasted? Because Rukmi had some powers. Rukmi displayed his bow Rukmi had done a penance to Indra, and Indra had given him a bow, which the name of the bow was Vijaya. It was a very special bow. In the whole creation, there were three special bows mentioned in the Mahabharata. Two had already been procured. The one was waiting with Indra. The first bow was Sharanga bow, which Krishna had. Second was the Gandiva, which Arjuna had. And third was the Vijaya, which Indra had, which Indra gave it to Rukmi. So Rukmi, when he got that bow, he felt that he is very powerful. And he went to Arjuna and dared to tell him that, don't worry, with this Vijaya bow I'll kill the whole Kuru army. So Arjuna had to very politely remind him that I don't require your help, because without your bow also I have defeated Kauravas many times. And he also told recently, after the Virat, during the Virat Yuddha, I was alone. And alone I defeated the whole Kaurava generals. So I don't require your help. I have Krishna with me. So Rukmi was insulted. So he said, okay, no problem. If you don't require my help, I will not stay with you. So he thought, let me go to Kauravas. So he went to Duryodhan. And there also started boasting in front of Duryodhan. Duryodhan, don't worry, you know, I am there. So Duryodhan, when he heard the boasting of Rukmi, it is mentioned, Duryodhan told him, Duryodhan insulted him. Arjuna was at least polite. Duryodhan was insulting him. Duryodhan said, I can accept you, but problem is that you are rejected by Pandavas. So anyone who is rejected by Pandavas, how can I take you, you know? So Rukmi said, okay, if no one wants me, I'll better go away. So Rukmi therefore did not take part in the Mahabharata war. So this we can see the boastful nature of Rukmi, how much he was boasting. And sometimes when someone person is boasting and is very proud, and if he gets certain company of people who are encouraging him, so he becomes more and more proud. And this is what precisely is going to happen in this pastime. When everything is going straight, nice, the marriage has been arranged, the marriage is over, God knows for what reason Balaramji is challenged by Rukmi. And this challenge is taking place because Rukmi has one friend of his whose name is who is the king of Kalingadesh, and who is envious of Balaram. So taking the opportunity, he is inciting Rukmi, go and challenge Balaram. So sometimes you see that how many times people may be demoniac, but and they may be bad, but if they have a very demonic company also, then there is no hope for them. It happened so with Kamsa. Many times Kamsa was humbled little, and he was bewildered what's happening. But his demonic company always encouraged him, don't worry, you can do it. Jarasandha was defeated so many times. In fact, it is mentioned in Bhagavatam, after Jarasandha was defeated for the first time by Krishna, he was sent alone, go back. He decided to retire and go to forest and to tapasya, because he was highly insulted. But it was his demonic ministers who encouraged him. No, no, the time was not right, you can do it again. And similarly, Rukmi also will be incited by such demonic people, and the result will be Rukmi will be killed. So this is something about the story of Rukmi. More will be coming up as devotees will speak on this particular chapter. But one particular point which is coming in this particular text which we recited today is, the sons and grandsons of Lord Krishna's children numbered in tens of millions. Just imagine the figure, tens of millions, just Krishna's family. So this big, big family of Krishna is mentioned here, can be quite bewildering for people. Already people are bewildered that Krishna married 16,108 queens. He married so many wives. What to speak of if they hear this figure of tens of millions of Krishna's own family? That will be more bewildering. We always hear in the outside world, Chota Parivar, Sukhi Parivar. But here was Bada Bada Parivar, Param Sukhi Parivar. They are more happy because it was Krishna's family. So in Krishna's family there is no dukkha. Therefore, all the acharyas who are from Krishna's family in spiritual world, they come down and they invite all of us, join Krishna's family. And we are suffering here, trying to have our own families here. But we are always troubled. So the acharyas are inviting us to join Krishna's family because it's the most ideal Sukhi Parivar ever. So Krishna's Parivar is mentioned here. And like these figures of tens of millions, it is mentioned, can be bewildering for a person who is faithless. But for great souls, great devotees, they are not bewildered by such figures. Recently, when Adinath Maharaj was here, he was giving a class and he was mentioning a nice point. He was mentioning all this aspect of Krishna's inconceivable nature. And he was mentioning that Krishna's inconceivable nature is very difficult to conceive, but yet we can understand something about him. And give a brilliant example. He mentioned, he was asking devotees, how much is the population of Mumbai? And some devotees said 1.5 million. And Maharaj asked, what is the population of the world? 1.2 billion. So Maharaj mentioned, just imagine, in this world, 1.2 billion people are living. And plus there are so many other living entities of different species. Yet each of this soul has his own private Paramatma with him. Each living entity in this world has his own Paramatma, unique, personal Paramatma. And that Paramatma goes with that soul wherever he wanders in this material universe. So Krishna can do so many things. So a great soul, when he hears these amazing figures about Krishna, he can easily digest it and he can explain to others. The very famous story of how Narad Muni is going to that cobbler and the Brahmana. And then Narad Muni goes to Brahmana and says, what Krishna is doing, Lord Vishnu is doing in the Vaikuntha. And the Brahmana is faithless. He said, are you kidding? How can ever Lord Vishnu pass an elephant through eye of a needle? But when he goes to the cobbler, immediately the cobbler says, very wonderful. My Lord can do so many things. And he is a cobbler, he is not educated. But yet he can give a wonderful analogy to explain that fact. And he gives the example of very tree sitting under a tree, the banyan tree. And the banyan tree has a small fruit. And in that fruit there are potential so many seeds which can have more banyan trees. So if Krishna can do all that, could put so many trees in a small fruit, what's amazing if Lord can push an elephant through eye of a needle. So we can see that when a devotee is here, the pastimes of Krishna, they are not bewildered. An ordinary person may get bewildered, but Krishna's devotees hear the pastimes of Krishna, the activities of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, they feel it is wonderful. This beautiful song sung by Shripad Vallabhacharya, Adharam Madhuram, Madanam Madhuram. Everything about Krishna is sweet. He is mentioning each aspect of Krishna. His Leela, his Charitra, his smiling, his walking. Everything is about Krishna is sweet. So that's a devotee. When devotee hears, he only gets amazed. He gets that Krishna can do anything. So not only Krishna can do anything, but Krishna empowers his devotees also to do something which can bewilder ordinary people. We take example of Srila Prabhupada. Now Srila Prabhupada has done something which no person can do. Like an example which I often quote is, Prabhupada in 12 years, 1965 to 1977, Prabhupada travelled all over the world 14 times and he established 108 temples. In 12 years, 108 temples. In today's ISKCON world, in 12 years, one temple is difficult many times. But Prabhupada established 108 temples at the age of, very ripe age of 70 years. So when Krishna can do amazing thing, Krishna empowers his devotees also to do amazing thing. And sometimes when a devotee does amazing things, the devotee is amazed. How Krishna can do amazing things to me? Prabhupada expressed many times amazement that, I am an old man. I did not even know whether when I come to America, people will understand my language. Prabhupada even joked, humorously told his disciples, I thought when I will tell you four principles, you will say, Swamiji, go back to India. But I am surprised you are following me. This is Krishna's arrangement. This is spiritual master's mercy. So this is the amazing thing. Krishna is doing amazing thing. Krishna's devotees do amazing thing. Today is also the day when an amazing thing happened. Today is the day when 400 years back, a very old person like Srila Prabhupada, at the very ripe age of more than 90 years, he compiled the beautiful literature of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Today we will be having darshan of Gopalji on that also. the darshan of Lord Gopala as Nityanand Prabhu, and Nityanand Prabhu is in a dream telling Krishna as Kaviraj Goswami that you go to Vrindavan and I will do certain things to you, but don't stay in this place. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was such a personality that at the age of 90 plus years, he mentions that how he was so invalid. His hands were trembling, yet he was writing Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he wrote such an epic that even today it's famous. It's one of the best epics of depicting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life history. So, it is mentioned that we'll speak something on the life of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami today and the literature he has given us. It is said that it is also actually disappearance day of Ramananda Rai, who is Vishakha Devi in the pastimes of Krishna Leela. Ramananda Rai would, just like Vishakha Devi assisted Krishna and Radharani, similarly Ramananda Rai would assist Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very intimately in the later days of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. Of course, I had to choose whether I can speak on Ramananda Rai or Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. It's very difficult to choose between both of them. But some devotees told me because it's more relevant today to have 400th anniversary of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I thought I will speak on Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati mentions that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's information is not much known. Why? Because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was a very humble person. He never wrote about himself anywhere in all of his books. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has written Chaitanya Charitamrita, he has also written Govinda Lilamrit, and he has also written a commentary on Krishna Karanamrita. But none of these books he has ever written out something about who he is, where he is from. Only in Chaitanya Charitamrita, relevant to Nityanand Prabhu's pastime, he mentioned about the story of how Nityanand Prabhu told him to go to Vrindavan. But that's to also glorify Nityanand Prabhu. He doesn't speak about himself. And later, why he wrote Chaitanya Charitam, that too glorifying the Vaishnavas who pushed him and glorifying the deity Madan Mohan, the deity of Madan Mohan, who gave the blessings to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So we'll narrate that story now. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned that in his commentary to Chaitanya Charitamrita, some info of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami have been collected by certain research scholars, but we are not sure about that. So he mentions that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was born in a place called Jhamatpura, and this comes in near, very close to Katwa, in a place called as Naihati. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was staying there. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati mentions why the name Kaviraj has come. Is it that he was a physician? So that's a question, why it came. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, we don't know why it came, why the name Kaviraj has come. Was he a doctor? But none of his writings ever that thing has come out. He mentioned about his physician profession. But he mentions it may be that he is a physician because his brother was Shyamdas Kaviraj. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also mentioned he may also be called Kaviraj because Kavi also means a great poet. So he compiled such great literature like the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Govind Lilamrit that he deserves to get the title of Kaviraj. So whatever reason, but Krishna has that surname of, the title of Kaviraj. So it is said that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami stayed in Jhamatpura, and of many pastimes which happened there, one pastime which is very distinct in the life of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami once arranged for a 24-hour kirtan in his house. So we can find this kirtan program is very popular, it's parampara, it's coming. Of course, we can only have once in a year, not two event, like an event. But for Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and devotees of that time, it was a regular thing. I was talking with few devotees who are from Odisha and Bengal, and they mentioned that even today, even though Kali Yuga has progressed 500 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even today, many villages in Odisha and Bengal, they have as a custom of kirtan programs which go for 9 to 10 days, 24 hours continuous. And kirtan parties come from all different villages. And every village has they have a time slot. So they come and they perform kirtan and then they go away. And the next village kirtan party comes and they go away. So even today that is, parampara is going on. And therefore we find that how professional kirtaniyas are more in Bengal and Odisha. more Bengal and Odisha. And that's why many times Prabhupada is referring in commentary that we don't want to hear Krishna's katha and kirtan from a professional reciter. Bombay, it may be not so relevant as such, but in the times of Bengal and Odisha, we can see it's very relevant. Kathas and kirtans are very much prominent. But because, why such kirtanas are not important? Because they are just for name and sake. For remuneration, they are chanting kirtan. Jayapataka Maharaj mentions in one of his writings that he has one disciple who was a professional kirtani before and then became his disciple. So one day Jayapataka Maharaj asked him, "Hey, you are doing kirtan for so long time, you sing so many ragas and you do kirtan like that, famous person. So what was your realization?" So he told his spiritual master that, "Maharaj, actually there is no realization. You know, whenever I was chanting, I was waiting, you know, when the chanting will get over. So I can drink, as Prabhupada mentions, you know, my gullet is dry, I want to smoke a bidi and drink some liquor. I was waiting every time when my timing is get over. But to show people that I am great, I would do some certain, you know, move my head and move my body as if I am ecstasy. Show off." Anyways, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami arranged for this 24-hour kirtan and he called all the Vaishnavas. One of the distinct Vaishnavas he called was Meenaketan Ramdas. And Meenaketan Ramdas happened to be an intimate associate of Lord Nityanand Prabhu. So it is said, who was this Meenaketan Ramdas? This Meenaketan Ramdas was an ecstatic devotee, exactly following the mood of Lord Nityananda. We know that how Lord Nityananda is avadhut. When he would go in ecstasy, his kirtan were unparalleled. We hear about a kirtan of Nityananda Prabhu with his associates in which place? In the house of Raghav Pandit at Paniyati. And that would go for 3 days continuously. And Nityananda Prabhu would tell some small children, dance, and they would dance for 48 hours. And Nityananda Prabhu would tell some devotees or the associates of Nityananda Prabhu would climb a tree and they would stand on the tip of the branch of a tree and dance there. This was the amazing kirtan of Nityananda Prabhu's associates. So Meenaketan Ramdas was one of that associates. So therefore in his kirtan there was always amazing things would happen. One of the amazing things is, while doing his kirtan, Meenaketan Ramdas would get a flute out and start playing a flute. And then sometimes he would take that flute and hit the flute to some devotee's head. Or sometimes he would keep the flute and slap the devotees. This was something which was like very, just imagine a kirtan program and someone starts doing like that. But devotees who knew Meenaketan Ramdas, they appreciated this. And they not only appreciated, they offered respectful obeisance to Meenaketan Ramdas when he went in ecstasy. However, there's a big problem which happened in the house of Kaviraj Goswami. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami had a beautiful deities of Gaur Nitai which he would worship. And Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami had a brother whose name was Shyamdas Kaviraj. Now Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami had kept a pujari for worshipping this deity of Gaur Nitai, whose name was Gunarnava Mishra. Now Gunarnava Mishra also was a devotee, but he was not a well-informed devotee in terms of the entire rasatattva of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He knew about Mahaprabhu's glory, but he had no idea and clue about Nityanand Prabhu's glory. So therefore when Meenaketan Ramdas went to an ecstasy and all the devotees were coming and offered obeisances to Meenaketan Ramdas, everyone came except Gunarnava Mishra. He was very busy worshipping the deities. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport there that he did not respect Meenaketan Ramdas. Prabhupada also mentions in some place that we ought to observe Vaishnava etiquette. And Prabhupada goes to a limit of saying that how when someone is offering aarti to deities and if a great Vaishnava comes to temple, the devotee should see if there is no one to greet that Vaishnava, he should keep his aarti hold and greet a Vaishnava and then continue his aarti. Otherwise it's an offense to the deities not to greet a Vaishnava. So you find that how when a Vaishnava is there, great soul, even Lord and his pure devotees agree that Krishna's worship can be stopped just to greet him. We have so many examples in our temple where certain great devotees were supposed to come, and we kept the deity's darshan holding, you know. I don't remember, one great Vaishnava came who was very close to Ranganath Maharaj. Supposed to come by, let's 1 o'clock somewhere in the afternoon, but he came very late. So Maharaj told, keep the darshan holding. So after 1:20, then devotee came, then he took darshan nicely, and then the darshan was closed. In the year 96-97, I remember, I had come to temple, I had not joined, but I had come to temple, it was Sunday or something like that, or a Saturday. And we were told that His Holiness Satswarup Maharaj is going to come to this temple for the very first time. So, he was staying in Juhu temple, and he had some health issues, so he said, I can only come in the morning. So for him, so that he can travel back to Juhu before the sun can come, and he does not feel uncomfortable. So we had arranged that Bhagavatam class is morning, something around 5:45. That day Bhagavatam class was early. But when Maharaj came, I remember, devotees, all senior devotees were waiting for him. It was the first time he was coming. And as usual, the vehicle became late. So what happened? 5 o'clock Shankh should blow, but Shankh did not blow. We waited for him because we wanted him to sing Mangala Arati. So then he came, and by the time he came up, in 5:10 the Shankh blew, the darshan opened that day late, and he sang the Mangala Arati. So we can see that how this is the etiquette which has to be followed. So Gunarnava Mishra was a good devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he did not respect Meenaketan Ramdas. And Meenaketan Ramdas, because he is associate of Nityananda Prabhu, he can do certain things which ordinarily a devotee may not do. And that is what Meenaketan Ramdas became upset. That why Gunarnava Mishra is not offering obeisance to me? Because he thought that it is not to me people are offering worship, it is to Nityananda Prabhu people are offering worship. And this guy, Gunarnava Mishra, Meenaketan Ramdas understood the heart of Gunarnava Mishra. It is not that he is busy in worship. It is just that he has no faith in Nityananda Prabhu. Therefore, he is not offering worship. So, he understood. So, immediately Meenaketan Ramdas said that previously there was one Romaharshan Sutta who did not respect Balramji. But now here we see second Romaharshan Sutta, who is not respecting the representative of Lord Nityananda, the same Balaramji. So he was upset. Now what happened is, Gunarnava Mishra, he heard the chastisement of Meenaketan Ramdas. Our Vaishnava Acharyas mentioned that Gunarnava Mishra was happy. He felt it is purifying to get chastisement of Meenaketan Ramdas. Yet he did not change. He continued his seva. However, it was the Shyamdas Kaviraj, the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj, who got irritated. So when the Kirtan program entered, there was a discussion and argument between Shyamdas Kaviraj and Meenaketan Ramdas. And the Shyamdas Kaviraj also, like, Jaisa Guru, Vaisa Chela. So Gunarnava Mishra also was who's disciple of Shyamdas Kaviraj. Shyamdas Kaviraj also was same opinion that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is most important, everyone else is not so important. And he did not respect Nityananda Prabhu. So when there was a discussion between Meenaketan Ramdas and Shyamdas Kaviraj, and Shyamdas Kaviraj was very heavy, Meenaketan Ramdas became upset. He broke his flute and angrily left that place. So when he angrily left that place, it is mentioned, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami could not handle that. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami immediately chastised Shyamdas Kaviraj, his own brother, and told him that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu are like two souls in one body. They are non-different. If you respect one person and do not respect the other person, you are doomed. It is matter of time your spiritual life will be doomed. Therefore, still chance is there, rectify your offense. But Shyamdas Kaviraj was still obstinate. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was so upset with this, he chastised left and right his brother. And he took the side of Meenaketan Ramdas. Now what happened? Because of his offense, in due course of time, Shyamdas Kaviraj, he lost his devotional service. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives example, I think Prabhupada gives in his purport his example of quoting or equating Shyamdas Kaviraj to Ramchandra Khan. Ramchandra Khan, he also offended Haridas Thakur and later offended Nityananda Prabhu. And because he's offended Nityananda, even though he was a very pious person, well-known pious person in that village, and the village also was very pious, but because of that offense, it is mentioned that the governor, the Mughal governor came, he sent his ministers and his troop, and they killed a cow in the very house of Ramchandra Khan, and it ransacked the entire village. In fact, it is sometimes mentioned by some Vaishnava Acharyas that, in fact, Ramchandra Khan was killed by those people. His whole village was destroyed because of the offense. So here we see Shyamdas Kaviraj, he was doomed. Now Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, because even though his brother was the one who offended, he took side of Meenaketan Ramdas. This pleased Nityananda Prabhu. This was the Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that because I went against my own brother and took side of Meenaketan Ramdas and chastised my brother, this chastising my brother pleased Nityananda Prabhu. And as a result, Nityananda Prabhu came in my dream. So Nityananda Prabhu came in the night in a dream of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and said, don't stay in this place. Go to Vrindavan. And in due course of time, many events will happen to you. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has spent his whole life in that village, took that dream as his life and soul, left the village never to come again. This was the vairagya, the renunciation of Krishnadas Kaviraj. Just by dream, he left that place because he found that his place has become contaminated because of Vaishnava Prat. So it is said that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami came to Vrindavan, and when he came to Vrindavan, he was so happy because he got association of great souls like Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and all great Vaishnavas, Lokanath Goswami, etc., etc. And it was at in Vrindavan that all his good fortune came into reality. What Nityananda Prabhu told, all the events will come. So not only he got chance to meet all the great Vaishnavas, but there in Vrindavan was offered an opportunity to him to write a book on the life of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is such a humble person, he gives all credit to the Vaishnavas there. It is said that when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was about to embark on Chaitanya Charitamrita writing, there are already few books on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. One was Murari Gupta's book on called Chaitanya Charita. There are the notes of Swarup Damodar Goswami, few handwritten notes, and called as Karcha, and there was a book of Vrindavan Das Thakur called as Chaitanya Bhagavat. So why does Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami feel he should write one more book? It was not his feeling. It was the urge of Vaishnavas. All the great Vaishnavas in Vrindavan, they knew very well that Raghunath Das Goswami, who had intimate association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar Goswami, had gone through the notes of Swarup Damodar Goswami, who had personally witnessed the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he shifted to Radhakund, he was narrating all those pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to all the devotees there. So all the devotees, when they are hearing the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the lotus lips of Raghunath Das Goswami, the one constant person who was sitting in that assembly was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So he had heard the entire narration. So when he had heard the entire narration, it is mentioned that all the Vaishnavas felt that he has read and he has heard the narration, so he has potency. It is mentioned that the Vaishnavas were thinking that Murari Gupta had written about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but not such a detailed way. And Swarup Damodar Goswami had only written about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. Whereas Vrindavan Das Thakur, all the Vaishnavas are saying that Vrindavan Das Thakur began well Chaitanya Bhagavat writing. He went details in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, initial life as a childhood boy in Mayapur. But later it is mentioned, Vrindavan Das Thakur, as he started narrating Nityananda Prabhu's pastimes in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he went into ecstasy. Because Vrindavan Das Thakur happens to be intimate associate of Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu was the one who inspired Vrindavan Das Thakur to write Chaitanya Bhagavat. So because he went into ecstasy in Nityananda Prabhu, it is mentioned that as if in ecstasy, Vrindavan Das Thakur could not give elaborate later pastimes about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he felt in that ecstasy, he winded up the whole pastimes very soon. So all the Vaishnavas felt that there is much more information of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu which is lacking, which is not fully given in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is the one person who has heard all that. And if he does not write, the entire Vaishnava generations to come will miss that. So they kind of pushed him. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was so humbled, he said, well, I am not qualified. I am an old person. He said, no, you should do it. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami decided that he will go and take blessings. And only if the deities give him blessings, he will go for writing Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami goes to Madan Mohan temple. And in front of Madan Mohan, he expresses his desire that I have been inspired by devotees to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you feel that it should be done, kindly give your blessings. At that instant, as soon as he made a prayer, the beautiful garland which was garlanding Madan Mohan, it fell down. And the pujari who was worshipping Madan Mohan, he also happened to be a great soul. So he knew very well that such a thing doesn't happen always. So immediately saw in the audience Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and he saw, asked him, did you ask something from Lord? The garland fell down. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami expressed that this is what I asked. So he became so happy, he took the garland and he garlanded Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He said, Madan Mohan has given full sanction, go ahead and write Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we find that how the blessings of Madan Mohan was there, and Chaitanya Charitamrita was written. In fact, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was so, his whole life is to be very much conscious about not offending Vaishnavas. Because of that he got mercy of Nityanand Prabhu. And we can see through his life, not through his just life, but his even teachings and writings. We write to the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see that every chapter begins first by glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityanand Prabhu, Advaita Acharya and all the associates of Mahaprabhu. And the chapter ends by glorifying Rupa Goswami and Raghunadas Goswami. So this is how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami flows in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And finally, when the Chaitanya Charitamrita is written, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami shows that how he actually is unable, he is not the person, the right person to do this glorious task. He mentions in this beautiful verse that I am more sinful than Jagai and Madhai, and I am lower than worm in the stool. Anyone who hears my name will lose all piety. Anyone who utters my name will get all sinful reactions. Yet, this sinful person has been empowered by Nityanand Prabhu to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is how the humble attitude of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is there. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is a very special scripture. In fact, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's mood is also seen in the life of Srila Prabhupada. How Srila Prabhupada, when he wrote Vaishnava literatures, he did not take any credit. He gave credit to his spiritual master. In fact, he also many times gave credit to his American disciples. We find many books Prabhupada that I like to thank Sriman Adhikari, Sriman Brahmachari for their wonderful contribution in making this book possible. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada writes, I want to thank Pradyumna Das Adhikari and Jayadev Das Brahmachari and 3-4 names Prabhupada writes who helped in making this Chaitanya Charitamrita possible. So, the Chaitanya Charitamrita Granth is a very special Granth. We always quote in our at lectures or we hear that Bhagavad Gita is ABCD, or we say Bhagavatam is graduate study. Prabhupada said Chaitanya Charitamrita is post-graduate study of Vaishnavism. And Prabhupada always glorified Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada said, my spiritual master's favorite book was Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sir, my spiritual master, when he was at leisure, he would pick up Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he would read Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he Prabhupada mentioned that he read Chaitanya Charitamrita at least 108 times. And Prabhupada mentions that my spiritual master, when he would read Chaitanya Charitamrita, he made a statement. This Chaitanya Charitamrita is so nectarian that he mentioned that people in future, foreign devotees would come and they would learn Bengali just to read and release Chaitanya Charitamrita verses written by Kaviraj Goswami. So that is about Bhaktisiddhanta Sadagur. In fact, one time Bhaktisiddhanta Sadagur was giving a lecture at some place very close to the banks of Ganga. The pandal was very close to Ganga. And that time there was tremor, earthquake. And recently there was earthquake in Nepal. So earthquake. And because of tremor, the pandal was shaking. And everyone was... But Bhaktisiddhanta continued speaking lecture. And because of tremor, Ganga also was, you know, there was a tremor in Ganga. And Ganga was flowing out and came to the pandal. But because Bhakti Sanjay was giving lecture and Harinam was going on, the tremor stopped and Ganga again recited. So when Ganga came inside the pandal, it is mentioned that everyone has panicked. And that time Bhakti Sanjay Thakur said, yes, Pralaya can come any time, Bhakti Sanjay mentions. When Pralaya comes, nothing will last. And if you have option to take something with you, Bhakti Sanjay Thakur mentions, take only three books, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Leave everything else. Don't take any belongings. Just take these three books. This is enough for you. And then Bhakti Sanjay Thakur paused and said, maybe these three books are too much. Take Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is enough. And Bhakti said, maybe that is also very difficult to carry all those books, you know. Just Chaitanya Charitamrita is enough. If you have Chaitanya Charitamrita, you don't require any other book. So that was the taste which Bhakti Sanjay Thakur had for Chaitanya Charitamrita. And therefore it is mentioned that not only Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, but Srila Prabhupada also. When Srila Prabhupada was going to America, of all books, personally to read, Srila Prabhupada carried Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Prabhupada mentions in his Jalisutta diary that the sea is rough or the sea is calm and today is this day and I am relishing reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is my life and soul. So Prabhupada took that one book along with him. Even though he had trunks of Bhagavatam, but he was personally relishing Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Prabhupada was comparing Bhagavatam. One person, he came and told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you are writing about Krishna and so many things, but you are not writing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada said, yes, I have given the book teachings of Lord Chaitanya. But Prabhupada, you have not given pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada took that as an instruction from his spiritual master and decided to stop Bhagavatam and start Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that's the time he knew that he has to finish Bhagavatam, he's taking a detour. Therefore he began the famous Chaitanya Charitamrita marathon, compiling and printing. Because he had no time, but he thought it is important that all the generations ahead of time should get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's biography in English language. So therefore he actually went through the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita in a very fast way. And when he saw the printing was going very slow, then they had that marathon which happened in Los Angeles. And he was personally sitting in Los Angeles overseeing the whole thing and got a Chaitanya Charitamrita printed. This was Srila Prabhupada, that how he loved also Chaitanya Charitamrita Grantha. So there are so many things we can speak. Lot of information more is there. We'll end here. It's late in time. Thank you so much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Granth ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Tai Gaur Premanandi.